Luke chapter number 23. Try to get into some serious things now. Luke chapter number 23. This morning I want to think upon the subject of Calvary. I don't know of a better subject for the child of God to put upon our hearts and our minds. Of course, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And I'm sure we'll be thinking along the lines of the resurrection. But this morning, I want us to think upon the subject of because of Calvary. There's some things that we have because Christ died upon Calvary. You see, everything that the Lord has done, everything that God did, and really everything God still does is very special. If He does something for us, I guarantee you it's a special treat for us when God answers our prayer. But everything that the Lord of heaven, the God of heaven, has done and given to us in His Word has been very special. This morning, before I got out of bed, I was thinking about some special things that the Lord has done. He gave a special land, and it's called Israel. My, that's been a turmoil, a place of turmoil ever since the Lord gave it to Abraham and his descendants. But it's a special land for a special people. He gave that group of people a special language called Hebrew, and then later, under the influence of Greek, which is a very, very difficult language for some people, but it's a language that is very precise and gives us the exact words that we need concerning the Word of God. So He gives a special people and a special language. He sent a special Lord. There have been a lot of lords down through the generation of time, but no one like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He's a special person to us. And our Lord, He lived a special life, and it was sinless, without sin upon Him. And that life that He lived was for a reason and for a purpose, and because He had a special love for mankind. That's what we're going to deal with this morning of Calvary. And of course, after that, He had a special way of leaving. The Bible tells us that there was a resurrection. We'll be dealing with that probably next Sunday. And then a few days after that was the ascension back into heaven. And so He had a special way of leaving. No one's done exactly the way Jesus did. And He's left to you and I a special longing. Soon return of our Lord. We're looking for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're looking for that time when we can see and understand and hear the sound of the trumpet and realize that our Lord has returned. And so all these things have been very special. But I believe it all centers around that special love that He had for mankind that drove Him to Calvary, that put Him upon an old rugged cross, that cross that is an emblem of suffering and shame into this world. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 33, it says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots." Our Father, we ask You this morning to guide and direct us. Help us, Lord, with our thoughts and our physical needs. Dear Lord, I pray that You would encourage each of us to understand the importance of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that took Him to a place called Calvary. And because of Calvary, we have such blessings as a child of God. Now, Lord, help us, we pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Some 2,000 years ago, there was a man that walked upon this earth. His name was Jesus Christ. He was the greatest man, I believe, without any contradiction, the greatest man that had ever lived or ever should live. But he wasn't just a mere man. He wasn't just like you and I. He wasn't just human flesh, even though he was flesh. Even though he took upon him the form of man, he was not just like us, because the Scripture says that he went upon the face of this earth, had a mission, and that mission was to save the world from their sins. And the only way that could be accomplished was that He be a sinless substitute, our sacrifice that we have. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that he was despised and he was rejected. He was despised of those around him. He was rejected by his own people. And then in the Gospel of John, the Scripture says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. Even though he worked miracles and he did signs and wonders in their sight, they still doubted his words. The Bible says he made of himself of no reputation, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank God that was his purpose. Eventually, he was betrayed by one of his own followers, by one of his own men that he had chosen for a mere price of a slave, 30 pieces of silver. And there one day, 2,000 years ago, what we read this morning, there they crucified him. You see, the cross of Calvary was not just a place of death for the Lord, but for you and I and for everyone that would be a believer, it's a place of deliverance. We have been delivered from our sins. We have been delivered from our sinful ways and our sinful nature. And when Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, he was not just a mere martyr, as we read about in history of those that have given their lives for certain things. And there have been many martyrs for the cause of Christ. But he was more than just a martyr. And his blood was more than just the blood of another man. His blood was sinless and pure as the Son of God, and he shed that blood to redeem us and give us life. I read this statement the other day from a man many years ago, Oswald Chambers. He says, "In the cross is health. In the cross is life. In the cross is protection. In the cross is heavenly sweetness, and in the cross is strength of mind. In the cross is joy of the Spirit and the height of virtue, and in the cross is perfection of holiness. There is no health of the soul, no hope of eternal life, save in the cross." So this morning I want us to deal with this place that is called Calvary, and because of Calvary, some of the things that we have as a believer. Of what Jesus gave us and what he went through that time before the crucifixion, the scourging, and all the physical problems that were put upon him. And he did that to offer and to give to mankind redemption of their soul. And we that believe and we that accept what Jesus did, then we have some blessings and we have some things because of Calvary. This morning, you and I that are saved, we have hope. Now, this world we're living in, it doesn't seem like it has any hope. And outside of Jesus Christ, it has no hope. But you and I this morning, as a Christian, we have hope because of what Christ did. We have hope because of His life. In Psalm number 33 and verse number 21 says, "For our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee." You and I this morning, we have hope. If we leave this world today, perhaps if something was to happen to us, we have heard this morning of folks that have passed away. We've heard of folks this morning that have had tragic accidents. And we're going to leave this world one way or the other. But you and I today as a believer, thank God we have hope this morning that if we leave here, we're going to have a better place over in the glory land with Jesus Christ. This hope makes us a blessed people. We are blessed of God. We are blessed of so many. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is." Blessed is that man, or blessed is that man who hopes or trusts in the Lord, and he has his hope in the Lord. That word hope is not the type of word that we say, well, we maybe will have it, or we hope we make it. But our hope is steadfast in what Jesus did, and that hope is sure and firm that one day we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a fantasy world. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something that's somebody's imaginary story, but it is the Word of God that you and I that have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a blessed hope one day that we shall live with Him. We have a living Savior to help us. We have a loving Savior to care for us
And we're on a journey through this life. And as we journey, we're on an uncharted course. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. We don't know what the next day may bring. We don't know what next year may bring. We don't even know if we'll have a tomorrow. But I do know I have hope. We may not have a next year. We may not have anything before us. But I do know one thing. I have Jesus Christ when this life is over. And that makes me a very blessed person. And if you're saved this morning, it makes you a very blessed person in Jesus Christ. We're blessed by His life. All you have to do is read the things that are given to us in the Scripture, that Christ, as our example, showing us how to live and how to sacrifice, even how to die. And in His resurrection, we see that He is a conqueror. And because He resurrected, one day we shall resurrect. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and we'll be thinking, and our minds will be upon the thoughts of the resurrection of our Lord. But you see, it's far more, goes far deeper than just His resurrection. Because He arose, you and I one day shall arise, and we'll go to be with the Lord forever and forever. So we're blessed by His life. We're blessed by His death. We're blessed by the things He did. We are a blessed people. We're blessed not only because of His life, but we're blessed because of His love. You see, God proved His love on the cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Thank God this morning that on that hill there Jesus suffered and bled and died as He hung between two sinners, two thieves, two robbers, one of which said, "Lord, wilt Thou remember me today when You come into Your kingdom?" And Jesus said, "Today Thou shalt be with me in paradise." You see, salvation is an instantaneous thing. He didn't have to wait to do anything. He didn't have to wait to have good works. He didn't have to be baptized. That thief didn't have to do anything except believe. And the Lord said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And so he was blessed because of the love. And the Lord has proved His love there upon the cross of Calvary. When Jesus hung and died there, God was saying to the world, "I love you, and I give my Son, I give my only begotten Son, that we might have life." Love is one of the ingredients that is missing in so much of our world. Very few people really recognize what love is. It's never an abundance of it because so very few people have that. And the world will never outgrow the need for love. And the only place that we can find true love and real love is in Jesus Christ. And the cross of Calvary. And there, the Bible says, when they come to the place, it was where the place was, a specified place. There they hung Him upon the cross of Calvary. You know, love is something that people have misused for so long, and sometimes we do not even recognize what real love is. Love is more than just a passing thing. It's more than just an emotional thing. Love is an eternal thing that came from God to mankind. And we'll never understand it until we know the love of God. To understand and to know and to experience God's love is the greatest event that will ever take place in my life or your life. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to you. And it will be the greatest thing that would happen to anyone when they come to know Christ, to have experienced the love of God. The hope that God gives to us makes us blessed. The hope that we have not only makes us blessed, but it should make us a blessing. It should work in our life and should work in our daily activities that we would be a blessing to others. The Bible says in Titus chapter number 2, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world." That's how we're to live. Because of the grace of God, because of the love of God, we're to not live according to the lust of the world and to deny those things, but we should live soberly or under control. We should live righteously according to God's Word. We should live godly. We should live in this present world so others can see what God has done in my life. And what God can experience, what I can experience from God in my life, they also
can experience the same thing. So it makes us a blessing to others. That's why we encourage and why we are encouraged to go and to tell the entire world that Jesus saves. That verse goes on to say, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Thank God for redemption. And that's what Jesus did for us, and so therefore it makes a blessing to us, and then makes us a blessing to others. During our mission meeting, we were encouraged by Brother Decker to take tracts and to hand them out and give to people. And I pray we continue to do that, because what it is, it's making us a blessing to others. To show them, to tell. When you go out to the store, when you go to the grocery, the lady that helps you, or the man that checks you out, or if you go out and eat today, whatever it is, we can always leave a message there that Jesus loves them and God cares for their soul. Somebody said, well, it might not ever do any good. No, it won't do any good unless we do it. That's for sure. And I've heard testimony after testimony of people that have read gospel tracts and the Lord spoke to their heart and later on led them to the Lord. Even, maybe some, even at that very, very moment. So we have a hope in Jesus Christ because of Calvary, because of a hill far away, because of the rugged cross that where Jesus suffered and bled and died. Not only do I have hope this morning, but I'm glad I can say I have happiness in my heart. Now, a lot of people have a lot of fun, but when it comes to a serious time, they don't have a lot of happiness. Fun is an expressive action that we have, that we do. Fun is something that, as an action, we go places with our children so they can have fun. That's an action. We go to do things with our families and we enjoy ourselves. That's what we call fun. But it's different to be happy. For you see, I can be happy this morning and even still have tears running down my face because of what Christ has done for me. My happiness is not based on outward expression. My happiness is not based upon what I'm doing. Happiness is what happened to me one day in my life as a believer, as a Christian, coming to know Jesus Christ. There's where happiness comes from. We rejoice because He has protected us. He has given us the way of life. We trust Him day by day, and there's protection there that we do not even recognize, do not even know. And if the Lord was to take His hand of protection away from us, wonder what would happen then. I really believe the devil's out to harm all of us. And the only thing that keeps that from happening is the protective hand of our God. And it's all because of Calvary. It's all because of what He did that day. The joy of a believer. The Christian joy, the joy of being a child of God. The eternal God lives in our soul and lives in our heart. And we can have happiness that will never, never go away, because what He has given to us is eternal life. It's everlasting life. It's life that never ends. It's life that never grows old. Thank God. As the old song said, well, we're going to a land where we never grow old. Won't that be great? Won't that be wonderful? No more problems with the body. No more problems with the eyesight. No more problems with the ears. No more problems with the heart. No more problems with the lungs. No more problems anywhere. Everything that comes to us. We're going to a land where that will not harm us. Why? Because of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ dying on Calvary and we believing what He has given to us. We fare sumptuously every day, for God gives to us day by day. The prayer that is commonly called the Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. And sometimes we worry about tomorrow when we ought to just be considerate of today. To understand that He's given to us today, and if He's taking care of me today, why, I believe He can take care of me tomorrow. If He cared for me yesterday, He can care for me today. And I know sometimes that's hard to experience, but God wants us to live by faith. And sometimes the song that we sang, Living by Faith, really puts me under conviction. I do not like that verse that says, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, because every one of us care about what tomorrow brings.
But if we really live by faith, whatever tomorrow brings, we can face it. We can go through the problems and the struggle. Why? Because He protects us, He helps us, and we can rejoice in Him. Because one day, they came to the place which is called Calvary. And there they crucified Him. You see, He was born for this one moment. That's why Jesus came. Jesus did not come to this earth to establish a new kingdom in a moment of time. He did not come to establish Himself as a king at that moment, even though many of them thought He did. But Jesus came for the purpose of dying on the cross of Calvary, that He could build to Himself a kingdom. That He could build to Himself a people that was called by His name. We rejoice in that protection and that power of the Lord Jesus. Blessed be the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. We have a hope, and thank God we have a heavenly home. So we find that the Lord came to this earth and He gave to us eternal life. He gives us a hope. He gives us to us a happiness. Oh, but more importantly, maybe than all that, He's given to us a home that will never pass away. A place that will never go out of existence. I have driven by about 2 years ago, I guess. I went back to Crittenden County, and I was just out driving around. I went by a house where we lived when I was, I guess, till I was about 8 years old. And it's in bad shape. If you don't take care of those houses, like these houses, they wear out and they go away. And I could go there and I crossed the fence and hoping there wasn't nobody there, wonder what I was doing. I knew there wasn't nobody living there. And I just walked around a little bit just to remember some of those days. And I went back about a year later. Sure made me glad I went that one time. Nothing there. It had all been taken away. It had all been pushed down or burned or whatever. And now it's just a field. It was just in the middle of a field anyway, the farmer's place. And it was all gone, and I said, I'm glad I went, and I got some pictures of it. And I'm glad I went there because it's gone now. But you know what? I'm going to a land that'll never happen. I'm going to a place where my home is established by God. The Bible says He's going to prepare a place for you and I, and where He is, there we'll be also. And it's an eternal home in glory. It's an assuring promise that we have that He gave the assurance there to the thief on the cross. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And you know what? He's still there. He's still with Him. And I'm looking forward to that day that we shall go and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43. These are words of assurance that gave to that man that was dying. I mean, before the sun was to set, he would be dead. Who of us today can say before the sun sets, we will not be dead? We don't know that. But I'm glad Jesus died on Calvary's tree. And the day that I trusted Him, that moment I put my faith in Jesus Christ, I had a place prepared for me. Had a place ready, waiting, and it'll always be there. If I live to be 90, if I live to be 100, whatever it is, my house is already there. And it'll not go out of existence. It's a heavenly home. It's a home of the heavens, of the glories. We sometimes are so filled with our daily activities and our earthly ways of life that we forget about the heaven that is before us. But you and I this morning that are believers that will have these blessings because of Calvary, because of an old rugged cross on a hill far away, we have these blessings and we have this home. It's an amazing promise that we have in Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's hard for us to grasp that God would really care for me. I read the details of a scientist that tried to explain the vastness of our universe. And then the very thing that I thought of, how would God know where I am? How would God know where this little speck, I wouldn't even be a speck. our universe, our creative God that made all these things. He made it such a vast, vast world.
But yet He cared for me. And He cared for you. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, if the Lord can take care of the flowers of the field, the lilies, He can take care of us. If the Lord can take care of the sparrows that fly, and we see them from day to day, if God can supply for them, God can take care of me. And God can take care of you. What a blessing it is to have the promise of God that He knows where I am. There's no place I can go that God doesn't know it. There's nothing that I do that God doesn't know it. There's nothing that I say that God doesn't hear it. There's nothing that I think that God doesn't realize it. For you see, God is all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful. And so this morning, when the Bible says that He came to a place which is called Calvary, and there they crucified Him, it was for the reason that we might have these promises of a wonderful hope in Jesus Christ, a happiness in our heart, and a home in heaven. I ask you this morning, do you have all three of those? You'll not have, unless you have the last one, you don't have the other two. If you don't have a home in heaven, if you're not saved, then you don't have a hope. You don't have any. If you're not born again, if you're not a child of God, you don't not only have you don't have hope, but secondly, you don't have happiness. Oh, you might have some joy. You might have some fun. You might have some frolic. And I'm talking about real happiness, peace of mind, that when you lay your head down, you pillow your head at night, you can say, I know for sure that if I don't wake up in the morning, I know where I'll be. What a blessed hope we have in Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to know a Lord, a Savior, that loves us so much that He gives all these things to us so that we can function in this world as a believer. They took Him to Calvary. They crucified Him. They took Him down. They put Him in a tomb. It was a borrowed tomb. He wasn't going to use it very long, so it was a borrowed tomb. And then one day He arose for our justification. This morning, what a wonderful thought it is. As tragic as it was, and as sorrowful as it was that Jesus had to die, but thank God He died that we might have these blessings and have this in our life as a believer. If the Lord comes today, are you going with Him? Don't say, I hope so. There's no assurance in that kind of hope. If the Lord was to come today, and I tell you what, He could come today, everything's in order. Somebody say, oh, there's got to be this done, that. No, no, no. Nothing has to be done. Jesus can come at any moment. We believe in the imminent return of our Savior. That means any time. I've heard of that so long, preacher. I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, the Bible tells us about you too, the scoffers and the mockers. But He's coming. And one day He's going to split the eastern sky. We're going to hear the sound of the trumpet. And we're going to go and be with Him forever and forever. Thank God we know Him. And the full and free pardon of our sin. Do you know Him? Do you have that hope? Do you have that happiness? Do you have the home that's prepared for the believer? It comes only one way, and that's by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, putting our faith and our hope in the Lord, coming to realize I'm a sinner. I need God. I need God. I don't know what your need is this morning. I don't know anybody's need. I just know what God gave me to preach. And there's a blessed hope that we have in Christ because one day on a hill far away, He died. Died that we might have life eternal in His name. Let's stand together this morning.